So good to see you all. Thanks for coming out this morning in the snow, and welcome to all of you who are joining us live stream. We hope you're enjoying your warm house and not having to scrape your cars off. So we've just moved past the season of Advent and Christmas and New Year's. The holidays are kind of behind us now, and we're entering into this new kind of ordinary time, January and February. But it's also a season called Epiphany, which is when we recognize the life of Jesus and his light that came into the world and the impact that has on our lives and how we can live in honor for him. So please rise in body or spirit as we read this call to worship and remember what God has done for us and how we can share his light with the nations. This is Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." In the same way as we have been greeted by our God, let us greet one another.
Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. The love that he gave us is one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. For sacrifice his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine light and let the whole world see. We'll sing it for the glory of the risen. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
Please join me in prayer. God, as a new year is upon us, we look back over this past year, whether it brought success, fulfillment, and joy, or it brought grief, setbacks, and struggle. We recognize that you are a faithful and mighty and have been with us through it all. In this new year, help us to recognize you above all else. Enlighten the eyes of our heart that we might see you and notice how your work through our lives. Give us the wisdom to make the best choices. Fill us with a desire to seek after you more than anything else in this world. Let your spirit and power breathe in us through us again, fresh and new. Thank you that you are greater than anything we may face in our day. Thank you that your presence goes with us and that your joy is never dependent on our circumstances, but it is our true and lasting strength, no matter what we're up against. We ask that your peace lead us, that it will guard our hearts and minds in you. We ask for your grace to cover our lives this day. Help us to shine your light brightly in our hearts, our homes, and our world. We love you, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thought. Thou art best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my
this morning. There are several in the bulletin, so if you didn't grab one on your way in, you can grab one and check it out on your way out. One important one is there's no children's worship today, so all the kids get to stay with us this morning. This week we have West End Wednesday, so there will be a dinner this Wednesday. We hope you can all come and join us for that. And then we have two other important announcements. First, Betty Boersma has a twin sister who passed away this past week. So if you know Betty, I know that she would love to hear from you and receive your prayers and encouragement as she grieves the death of her sister, but also gets to celebrate her life and the relationship they had. Virginia Boonstra also passed away this morning. Dave and Pam let us know that this morning. There will be no visitation or funeral at this time, but a memorial service will be scheduled at a later time. So they would appreciate your prayers and support as well. And we're thankful for the life that she had and the peaceful passing that she had this morning. So please join me in prayer now. God of light, we praise you that you are the one who shows your glory to the nations in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the reflections of your glory in our world and in our community, for your work in creation, for the beautiful snow and the winter season, for the sun that still shines and brings warmth. Lord, we thank you for your work in our church and the local community, for the times with family and friends that we had to celebrate the holidays and the birth of your Son, and for the moments where we were able to experience the joy of giving and receiving. Lord, help us to see the signs of glory as signs of your coming kingdom. We long for your kingdom to come, Lord Jesus. In the light of your love, we offer our petitions to you now, coming in your name. Lord, we pray for the nations of the world, for you to work and shine your light among them, as there are many places that are facing oppression or violence or natural disasters. Lord, we pray that your light would shine and you would send your spirit and parts of your body to comfort and encourage. Lord, we pray for our community and for our nation. Lord, as there are many of us who are experiencing different things in our lives, whether it's financial struggles or mental health struggles or relational or troubles with school or friends, Lord, we thank you that you are with us through all of that, that your light still shines. Lord, maybe it's just the ordinary times of life that feel mundane, that it gets hard to carry on some days. But Lord, we know that even in these ordinary times, these times that maybe don't feel special or important, they matter to you, and you are with us through it all. Lord, that these times are times where you are working in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray for Betty Boersma and her family. Lord, pray that your spirit would be with her, that you would encourage her, comfort her, that she would have times where she is able to delight in the memory and the relationship she had with her twin sister. What a special bond that is. Lord, I pray you would comfort her as she grieves the death of her sister, and that you would bring many around her to support and encourage and comfort. Lord, we also pray for Dave and Pam Visser, as his mother just passed away. We pray for their family, that this would be a time for them to come together and remember what you have done in the life of their mom and their family. And I pray that it would be a time for your light to shine in all of their lives as they remember what you have done through their mom. And we thank you that she is with you now and getting to celebrate this Sunday in heaven. Lord, we offer these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our light and salvation. Amen.
Oh, good morning, family. And Happy New Year to everybody. So glad that you're here today. As you can see, we're going to be celebrating communion in just a few moments together. Those of you watching online, get your elements prepared. Those of you in the congregation, you should have received the prepackaged elements, which we'll use in just a few moments. So, welcome to the first year, or the first Sunday of 2022. I think we all look forward to a good new year, a joyful and healthy new year, don't we? Isn't that kind of how we feel this time of year? Like out with the old, in with the new, let's move on to something better. You know, we were kind of hoping that 2020, when the pandemic started, that 21 would bring that new thing. And it turns out that here we are going into 22, and there's still a lot of darkness. There's still a lot of darkness in our world. And it's so easy to get discouraged by all that darkness that surrounds us, isn't it? I mean, there's still the darkness of political division. There's still the darkness of racial injustice and unrest. And of course, there's still the numbing monotony of this pandemic that goes on and on and on. And the darkness just kind of creeps into our soul, and it can make us cynical, and it can just cause us to lose hope. We just need some light, don't we? You know, one of my favorite days of the year, no kidding, one of my favorite days of the year is December 21. That's right, December 21. I don't know if you knew this about December 21, but December 21 is the darkest day of the year. It's the day when there's the least amount of sunlight and the most amount of darkness, because it's the winter solstice. And the sun is as far away from the northern hemisphere, where we live, as it can possibly be. And on December 21, it is the darkest, coldest, most depressing day of the year. But that's not why I like it. The reason I like December 21 is because beginning on that day, and on December 22 and December 23 and every day thereafter, a little more light comes and increases and pushes back the darkness. And light keeps coming and coming and coming all the way to June 21. Then I'm depressed, and then we have to go back to December. But never mind that. I just love the symbol of increasing light. There's something hopeful about that, isn't there? Something good is coming. Yeah, it's been a dark year. December 21 is a dark day. 2021 was in many ways a dark year. And we live in a dark world. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the light has come. And Jesus is the light of the world. And his gospel and his revelation and his vision of what God is doing in and through Jesus is that he's pushing back the darkness a little bit more each and every day, each and every year, until we arrive at that new creation, as John describes it in the book of Revelation, where there will be no more, darkness. No more darkness. Only light. Can you imagine? Summer every day in West Michigan. Only light and no more darkness. I'm looking forward to that day. So this morning, we're going to stick with that theme of light, which we've already been singing about and praying and thinking about this morning, that theme of light. In the history of the church, January 6th is known as Epiphany Day. Epiphany. It's a day where the church has celebrated the appearing, because that's what the word epiphany means, appearing or revelation of Jesus to the wise men. Wise men who represent the Gentiles. So celebrating the fact that Jesus has come not just for Israel, not just for Jews, but that he has come to make an impact on the whole world. That's what Epiphany is about. And the theme of Epiphany is the theme of light. It's the light of the revelation of Jesus, but it's also the light of the star that the wise men followed to find the place where Jesus was. So this morning, we're gonna think about the response of these mysterious people who came to visit Jesus shortly after he was born, known as the Magi. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that everything you thought you knew about this story of the wise men is completely wrong. And I'm going to set you all straight this morning. So First of all, because you all know the song, right? We three kings of Orient are, right? Which, by the way, we're going to sing in just a few minutes, so I'm not making fun of it. But you thought you knew. You're wrong. First of all, they weren't kings. Doesn't say anything about them being kings, right? They're called magi, which the best I can do with that is to say that they were astrologers who were working in the royal court of Persia. So they're not really kings, they're magi. Also, we don't know that there were three of them, right? Doesn't say anything about there being three of them. And I know people say, well, you know, the three gifts, right? There's gold, there's frankincense, and there's myrrh, so three gifts, three kings. Okay, makes sense. Except for this past Christmas, my wife graciously gave me three gifts. And there's not three of her, so, you know, we have to be careful about what we assume is true in the story, right? So, we know there's more than one, because magi is plural. So there's more than one, but we don't know that there was three. And then the one that's probably going to be the most unsettling to you. When the magi came to visit Jesus, they did not visit him in a stable and find him lying in a manger. I know, blasphemy, right? But in the text, it says that they came to the house where Jesus was, probably sometime after his birth. Now, according to the story in Matthew 2, which we'll get to in a moment, it says that King Herod, remember, slaughtered all those innocent babies 2 years and under. So it seems as though that the wise men or the magi came to visit Jesus maybe up to 2 years after he was born. But certainly it was not, you know, immediately with the shepherds at the stable and the wise men together. That's not the image that Scripture paints. So, everything you thought you knew about the story is all wrong. And some of you are thinking, man, you're just being annoying today. Well, kind of. But I do want us to think biblically. A lot of what you thought the story said, it doesn't actually say. And then, of course, the question is, well, then what actually does the Bible say about the visit of the Magi to Jesus? Well, actually, quite a lot. I think there's a lot that we can learn in this story and from the wise men about their visit to Jesus that can help us, I think, as a bit of light for the new year. Because we need some light in a dark world. So let's listen to this story of the wise men. It's in Matthew chapter 2. Let me invite you to stand if you're able this morning, and we'll read this story, and then we'll talk about it, and then we're going to come to the table. So here we go, Matthew chapter 2. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And that's God's word for us today. You can go ahead and sit down. So who were these guys, you know, that we call the Magi? Who were they? Well, like I said, they were not three kings like the song says. The Greek word is magoi. It's a word, the English word we get out of that is magic. So as I said, these are probably a class of wise men who worked in the royal court of Persia, and they were especially interested in astrology and interpreting special signs in the sky. They were interested in stars and dreams, and they would study the scriptures of different world religions and try to predict the future. So the best I can say is they were kind of a mashup of astronomy, astrology, theology, kind of all put together. And when they saw the star, somehow they knew that it would guide them to the place where they would find this king of the Jews. And the question is, well how'd they know that? I mean, how'd they figure that all out? I mean, did God just supernaturally reveal that to them and tell them? Why, maybe, all right, maybe God could have done that, right? But I want to suggest another possibility. I want to propose another theory as to how exactly these wise men knew where to go and what they would find when they followed that star. Now, as I said, the Magi were from this area of Persia, the Persian Empire, which is where Iran is today. And if you were a Jewish person reading this story in the Gospel of Matthew in the first century, the Persian Empire would bring back all of these terrible memories. Because every Jewish person knew that the darkest chapter in Israel's history had taken place right in this region. I mean, this region used to be called Babylon, right? In the Old Testament with Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, then the Persians kind of defeated the Babylonians and took over. But 600 years earlier, armies from Babylon came over to Israel and attacked them. They destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple, they killed countless people, and they marched any of the survivors 900 miles all the way back to Babylon, where they were held in exile. So for a Jewish person, the Persian Empire, where these wise men were from, just represented this terrible, dark, and shameless time in their history. But one of the bright spots in that time period was a young man named Daniel. Daniel was born to a Jewish family in Jerusalem. He was one of those survivors who kind of was marched off 900 miles east of Babylon. And Daniel was this very sharp young man, extremely hardworking. And when he got to Babylon, Daniel was given this position in the administration of King Nebuchadnezzar. And in the midst of a secular culture, with all of these other gods and secular ideas swirling around him, Daniel managed to stay faithful to his God and faithful to his history and to his people and what God was doing. You, of course, can read about Daniel's faithfulness in the book of Daniel. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and this is part of my proposal as to how the wise men knew where they were going. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. It says, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men." So think about this. Daniel didn't just join up and participate with these magi, these wise men, these court astrologers, but he became their leader, right? It says that Daniel was placed in charge of all the wise men. So he maintained his faith, his Jewish culture, and he was suddenly actually influencing all of these astrologers and wise men. Now listen, doesn't it make sense that Daniel, somewhere along the way, would have taught these magi about the prophecy of this coming Messiah? I mean, this was the great hope of every Jewish believer in the Old Testament. How could he not tell them about this hope and this thing that God would do in the world for everybody? Oh, I think Daniel told him, those wise men. I think maybe that's the best explanation. I think that prophecy maybe was passed down from Daniel to the Magi, then to the next generation of Magi, then to the next generation of Magi. And when Jesus was born, somehow their astrological training told them that this particular star would guide them to the place where they would find this Messiah, this King of the Jews. Now, I know there's some speculation there, and it's not exactly what Scripture says, but I think it's highly possible. Don't you? And it reminds me that even in the darkest times, even in the most shameful times, like a Jewish exile, God is not absent. God is at work, and he's weaving together something much bigger than anyone can see at a particular moment. God did that for Israel, and God is and will do that for all of us. So here's what I want to do this morning, just for a few minutes, on this first Sunday of 2022. Let's allow the story of the Magi to remind us that God is weaving something together in each and every one of our lives. I don't know what happened for you in this last year. I don't know the darkness that you've had to deal with or the shame that perhaps is in your past. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God has a plan for you, for your family, for each and every one of you. So as we think about this new year that's about to begin, are there certain ways that God is calling all of us to move forward with him in our spiritual journey? I think there is. And I think we can learn from these Magi and take what they figured out about this king, we can apply it to our lives as we move forward and receive some light for the new year. So what do we learn from these Magi? Well, I think three things. I think they teach us courage, they teach us about generosity, and they teach us about worship. Courage, generosity, and worship. So first of all, the wise men teach us about courage. You know, the more that I study this passage, the more that I realize just how gutsy these guys were. I mean, in that time, taking a journey of 900 miles, you know, through the desert to another land, this is a huge endeavor. I don't know if they were walking on foot or if they were riding camels like it traditionally we picture them. But either way, this was a huge undertaking, right? A dangerous trip. It was risky. It was scary. It was long. This is quite a courageous thing to do for these guys. But maybe even more impressive than that is the courage that they displayed when they responded to King Herod. Now remember, the nation of Israel was not an independent nation at that time. They were controlled by the Roman Empire, and every part of the Roman Empire had its local king and local area. And the guy who ruled Judea, which is where Israel is a guy named Herod the Great. He's known as Herod the Great. And he was this larger-than-life figure. He was feared by a lot of people. He was brutal, like most Roman rulers were. When Herod the Great was a young man, he went all the way to Rome and asked the Caesar, you know, could I be king? Could I control this area of Israel and Judea? And the Roman Caesar said, well, sure, you can if you can conquer it. And so Herod the Great went back to Israel and he brutally, violently put down any opposition to his rule. And sure enough, he became king of Judea. This is a painting of Herod conquering Jerusalem in 37 BC. Israel was controlled by Rome, and there's Herod the Great riding in to conquer Jerusalem. Powerful, brutal, king of the Roman Empire. But he was also admired. He was clever. He was talented. He had a lot of political savvy. He arranged some wonderful famine relief projects that helped a lot of people. He was, of course, well known for all of his building projects all over the country, including the rebuilding of the Jerusalem temple. And there you can see it, at least a model of it. There it is. Herod the Great constructed this awesome, huge temple. And in some ways, this earned him a lot of points with the Jewish population. And this is the temple that Jesus came to when he was an adult. So he had this very illustrious career. But by the time Jesus was born, Herod the Great was now an old man. And toward the end of his life, we know that he struggled with some terrible physical illnesses and diseases. And in his illness, he became just extremely paranoid. Crazy, in fact. He was known to fly into fits of rage. He clung to his power. Whenever he felt threatened, I think I've told you before, he killed at least three of his sons. He killed one of his wives and his mother-in-law. He was just this crazy, paranoid person. And so here's my point. The Magi show up in Jerusalem, and they come to Herod, who called himself the King of the Jews, because he liked that nickname, and they said, "Hey, we heard that there's this new King of the Jews. There's a new king, Herod. Where is he?" Which just reminds me, and I want us to remind all of us, that Christmas marks the appearance of a new king on the scene. And that King Jesus was a threat to all the other kings and leaders in the world. In fact, if you fast forward 33 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, when Christianity is beginning to spread throughout the Roman Empire, the Romans began to arrest Christians and torture them. Do you know what they did not say to those Christians? The Romans did not say, "Hey, Christians, deny the teachings of Christ." They did not say, "Renounce the sayings of Christ." You know what they said? They said, "Christians, you have to say that Caesar is king. You have to say that Nero is Lord." And the Christians said, "No, we're not going to do that, because Jesus is our king. And our only allegiance is to this brand new king." And so Christmas marks the beginning in history of a brand new king who is a threat to every other king who's ever lived. And Herod the Great, I think, got that. And so the text says that he was deeply disturbed. And all of Jerusalem was disturbed too. Because when Herod ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so Herod has this little plan, right? He devises this little plan. He calls all the Jewish priests and scribes together, and he asks them, he says, "Hey, what about this Messiah figure? Where is this person supposed to show up?" And immediately, the scribes show him the answer, right? "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people." And so they quote from this Old Testament book of Micah, which says that the Messiah is going to be born in this little obscure town of Bethlehem. And so Herod tells the Magi, kind of scheming, right? "Hey, go to Bethlehem and find this child, and then come back and tell me so that I can worship him too." I think they've kind of figured out by now what Herod's plan is, and they got a little smile on their face, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Herod has no intention of worshiping this child. So the Magi are sent off to Bethlehem to find this Messiah, and then after they see Jesus, in verse 12, says they have this dream that warns them not to go back to Herod. And now they have to decide. Do they obey Herod, who's threatening everybody all around him? Or do they do what it seems like God is telling them to do? And they have to decide. Are we going to go with God and defy the order of Herod? Or are we just going to cave into Herod? And you know what they do, right? They go with God. They defy Herod. Let me ask you, how much courage do you think that took those wise men? How much do you think it took them to stand up to Herod the Great and say, or they avoided him, right? And they just never went back to see him. It took huge courage. And I'm telling you, when we decide to follow this new King Jesus, he will call us very often to take risky steps for him, to take steps of courage for him, things that we would never do naturally on our own, things that require us to believe. And sometimes we have to decide, are we going to obey the voice of someone else who's very powerful and very intimidating? A lot of voices in our culture, a lot of powerful voices. Do you have any King Herods in your life? You know, a powerful person that maybe you sort of fear, who has a lot of influence over you? And sometimes we have to decide between pleasing them and pleasing God. I love this quote. It says, he who kneels before God can stand before any man. I love that. That was true of the Magi, right? That's what they did. After kneeling before King Jesus, they were not afraid to defy King Herod. And I think that's important for all of us to hear, all of us to hear as we go into a new year and there are intimidating, powerful voices all around us telling us what to do, telling us what to believe, what the good life looks like. And I think we have to do exactly what the Magi did. The Magi were moved to courageous faith in Jesus. And so in this new year, maybe you want to make the commitment too to say, I'm going to live with courage. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I don't think there's ever been a more important and significant time for Christians in our culture to live boldly, to live faithfully, to live obviously with our allegiance for King Jesus. I think we learn about courage from the wise men. A second thing the Magi teach us is about generosity. Now, there's been a lot of ink spilled, you know, a lot of theories proposed about the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. You know, people say, okay, the gold kind of symbolized, you know, Jesus being a king, and the frankincense was oil that was used by priests, and so it symbolizes the priesthood of Jesus, right? The high priesthood of Christ, and he's the mediator between God and humanity. And the myrrh was a burial spice, so anticipating his death and all that. Okay, all those things might be possible, okay. But I believe the main point is this. The Magi were responding to God's gift of Jesus by giving back something really valuable. They were responding to God's gift of grace and generosity by becoming very gracious and generous themselves. They were moved by the generosity of God's gift. They were overwhelmed by God's grace for them, that they thought the only sensible thing to do is to give this new king gifts of grace and generosity themselves. You know, the most famous verse in the Bible, right? For God so loved the world that he what? What he gave. True love always leads to giving. God gave his son on Christmas morning, and the logical response for truly wise people is to give generously back to him. I'm telling you, generosity fueled by grace pushes back the darkness in our world and brightens everything up. Generosity fueled by grace. Listen to this quote. It says, have you ever noticed that the tightest and most selfish people also tend to be unhappy and miserable as well? While some of the most joyful people are those that give generously of themselves, their time, and their stuff. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Isn't that how it works, right? And I've noticed that. I've noticed that in my own life. I've noticed in others. When I've been a bit cautious and controlling with my resources, I tend to be cranky. and not very joyful. On the other hand, there have been times when I've been a little bit more extravagant, trying to bless people with what I've had, and I've just kind of enjoyed life a whole lot more doing that. It's a lot more fun to be generous than stingy. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians that kind of links up this grace of God with the generosity that he expects from us. It says verse 10, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, people love the first part of verse 11, right? See that? "You will be made rich in every way." And people say, "I like that. I like that. I follow God. He's going to make me rich. I love that part." But keep reading. What's the purpose of God prospering people? "So that you can be generous on every occasion." It's all a gift. I mean, here's what I've noticed. It's not a perfect formula. It's not a strict cause and effect thing. But in general, here's what I've noticed. When people are generous, many times God entrusts them with even more so that they can keep on being generous. See what I'm saying? In other words, God is looking for people that he can count on to be channels of his grace and generosity to others. And it makes perfect sense, really, if you clog up the process by just holding on to stuff and hoarding things for yourself. Why in the world would God entrust you with anything more? It's just bad business practice. Why would God bless us so that we can keep on being generous? Here's the thing. When we've encountered Jesus Christ like the Magi did, it changes our hearts and it turns us into being outward generous people. I'm telling you, there is such an adventure in living generously. It takes faith. You have to rely on God, and I'm telling you, it's just a whole lot more fun. It's a whole lot more fun to be part of the chain that God uses to just distribute his resources around the world. And I love being a part of that. And maybe God is calling you in 2022 to become this generous, grace-giving person. Okay, one more thing, and then we have to come to the table. The Magi ultimately teach us about worship. About worship. When the Magi first came to Herod the Great, they said, "We have come to worship him." Because we human beings are just natural born worshipers, aren't we? We just are. Nobody has to teach us this. We just naturally are seeking something, right, to give our allegiance to submit to. We just want to do that. And so many times, you know, we give that to something other than God. A sports hero, a music star, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. We are natural born worshipers and we're searching for something or someone to worship. Here's the arrival of God in the flesh. And the one thing worthy of worship is worshiping the new King Jesus. And the Magi figured that out. But I think it's particularly significant in the case of the Magi. Because remember, 600 years earlier, armies from the east traveled 900 miles to attack and conquer. Now, 600 years later, these Magi travel those same 900 miles, and instead of swords, they bring gifts. Instead of forcing the Jews to bow down, remember the statue of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2? Now they were the ones bowing down to the king of the Jews. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I love the irony and the symmetry of this scene. The Magi were used to nice things. They were used to living in royalty. And now here they are in a stable that smells with a simple family and a little baby. It's a breathtaking scene. You know, these were men who had prominent positions, so they had every reason to feel superior to Mary and Joseph and the baby. They had every reason to feel disgusted about their surroundings, these simple people. But when they see Christ, they are so overcome with reverence that they bow down in worship. Do you ever think about how this experience changed the lives of the wise men? T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called The Journey of the Magi. And at the very end, he has one of the Magi saying this: "We return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease there in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods." Isn't that fascinating? I mean, what became of the Magi after this? I mean, we know they returned to their country, right? But you know, did they feel like they didn't fit in anymore with all these people worshiping these idols? Did they continue to worship Jesus from afar? Now, we don't know for sure. But here's what we do know. Wise men and wise women still kneel before Jesus. In fact, it's interesting because this scene takes place at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. If you fast forward to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, right? Jesus is not a baby anymore. He's grown up. He's lived this remarkable life. He's died this death on a cross to pay for our sins. He's been buried in a tomb. He rose from the dead to introduce new creation into our world. And now it's about 30 years later, at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, it says this: "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him." They worshiped him. Well, of course they did. Just like the Magi at the beginning of Matthew, now the disciples worship at the end because they realized that they were in the presence of royalty and deity, and nothing else made sense except to worship. So the Magi, I think, teach us about courage. They teach us about generosity. God gave, so they want to give too. But most of all, the wise men teach us about humbling ourselves before Jesus and just worshiping him. So the question I just want to leave with this morning is, how about you? How about you? In this year of 2022, have you decided that you too are going to bow and kneel before this Jesus in your heart and with your will? You know, we are so tempted to give ourselves to other things, aren't we? We do. We all do, right? That new gadget you got for Christmas, so cool. A house, a person, a vacation. Let me tell you, those things will not work. And they will not last. Do not look to those things to do for you what only God can do. Those things can never fill your soul. Only Jesus can fill your soul. Jesus came for you at Christmas. He died for you on a cross. And he is alive now, inviting you to bow before him in this year of 2022 and beyond. He's the only one who can give us courage because we need it. He's the only one who can make us generous because we want to live that way. And he's the only one who is worthy of our worship because he's the king, the true king of the whole world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful work in the history of this nation of Israel that experienced so much darkness and shame and was experiencing the light of the world by entering into it. And these very same people who came to conquer now came and worshiped. Lord, what an amazing story. And Lord, we pray in this new year of 2022 that you will make us people of courage to stand out for you boldly. And we pray that you will make us people who are very generous, that we can use the things that you have given us as opportunities to bless others. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you will inspire us to be people of worship 24/7 with our whole lives, every day, all day. Lord, may we bow before you and worship you as our only King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing.
Star of wonder, star of light, star in the royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, guide us to thy perfect love. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all. Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect love, guide us to thy perfect love.
You can sit down. So these are the symbols of the new king. There's no other king that I know of who would use these as symbols. Because these are symbols of death. These are symbols of sacrifice. These are symbols of love for his people. I've never seen a king use a symbol like this. The day that Jesus was born marked the day that a new king came into this world. The Magi figured it out, and now it's our turn. Because King Jesus is still reigning, and he's still inviting us to worship, calling for our allegiance, our submission, and to participate with him in his redemptive purpose for this world, to push the darkness back and bring more light. We are the people of light. because we are the people of Jesus. And these are the symbols of our King. And so these will mark our life too, as we serve with love and sacrifice for others. So if you want to be a person of light, if you want to follow this Jesus, if you want to participate in his life and his mission, we invite you to come to this table and partake of these elements, these symbols of our King. As we take them inside of ourselves, he will fill us with himself and send us out with his life in us to bear light to the world. So if you have your elements, on the night before Jesus died, he took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he poured out the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's take the symbols of our King into ourselves. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Christ was broken to forgive us of all of our sins. And take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of Christ was shed to forgive us of all of our sins. The most important thing, I think, that the Magi taught us to send us into a new year was that when they encountered this Christ, they worshiped him. Here we are to worship. Let's stand and close our service with those words as we head out today.
Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, you're so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became pure. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you for coming this morning, everybody. And now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord draw near to you, walk with you into 2022 and beyond, and may he give you all his peace. Amen, and go in peace.